The Blue Rose Manuscript, by Francis Rosenfeld. The Round World. Layer. A sheet, quantity, or thickness of material, typically one of several, covering a surface or a body.
Life is the sum of an almost infinite number of layers that sort out your thoughts, feelings, and activities. This creates a lot of confusion as life's level of complexity increases. You can usually focus on one or two layers at a time. The ones that come to prominence because of current events, temporary priorities, or invisible puzzle pieces coming into play. But never forget that all the layers of your life are always there. And just like in a set of plans, making changes on one layer has consequences in all the others. I know. After a while, this living layer set gets so complicated you'll want to throw it away and start over with a blank sheet. Rejoice. This means you are finally doing something worthwhile. All the things that matter, all the things that are consequential in the long run, are always complicated. The really consequential ones are usually too complicated to tackle alone. How do you handle an existence where working out one detail in one category can undo a lifetime of hard work in every other aspect of your life? Think of it as juggling plates. You add complexity one plate at a time and stop adding more until you've mastered the lot you already have spinning in the air. Also, there is a maximum number of plates you can keep spinning in the air, even at the peak of your mastery. We all have limitations. Only God has infinite capacity. Let's take the example of a timepiece. The simple ones have only one task: to tell the time of day. For that they need two arms, the hour and the minutes, right? No, don't look at your watch. I know it tells time. So, the simplest ones have two hands. After that, we can add complications. A hand for seconds, a dial for days, a fixture for the faces of the moon, a barometer, the current time in other places. You name it. You can add complications to this watch until it becomes too sophisticated to be of use. But none of those complications are worth anything if they interfere with the most basic function of your timepiece, which is to tell time. There is a fine line between having a complex level of understanding and being insane. It doesn't matter how extraordinary your capacity is in any aspect of your life, if you are for any reason unable to use it because of deficiencies in your most basic function. Look at life with a dispassionate eye and you'll see that all the problems people can't overcome are usually at the most basic level. Health, wherewithal, relationships, freedom. You are then the dancer who can't hear, the painter whose hands are tied behind his back, the singer who can't stop crying. Are you following me? Just because, for instance, having a voice is something everybody takes for granted, it doesn't mean you don't have to protect yours, especially if your gift requires a voice to be expressed. The things you take for granted are always your undoing. You will think this example obvious, but in reality, in the thick interacting layer stack, it isn't so at all. And things that didn't seem to matter under regular circumstances suddenly become a major handicap when the level of complexity rises. It can be anything. Your agreeableness, your level of energy, your lineage, how quick you are. Some people, when they reach this point, are eager to transform themselves. They wipe out any traits they deem questionable so they can fit into their role. And with that, they destroy the very essence which brought them to prominence. Because, remember what I said, all the layers act upon each other, all the time. It is a very precise balance, and one that is even harder to maintain when challenges arise, as they will, if you've proved yourself worthy. And once they arise, they keep coming, and they get more difficult and more refined every time you overcome them. You should take that as a compliment, as a gauge of your level of accomplishment, although I assure you that nobody does. Let's take a break. I'm tired. We'll continue after lunch.
The time between this writing and the one that followed seems to be a lot longer than an hour, and the rest of the lecture must have taken place in a different location. Everything changed: the ink, the quill, the rhythm of the writing, the tone of the conversation. We assume current events, public or personal, prevented the master from continuing this lecture, and he had to pick up where he left off weeks or months later.
So, layers. They interact across time too? An aspect you will find difficult to anticipate if you think of your life as water flowing inside its banks instead of a river that has a source, a course, and a mouth. What spilled into the water when it was just a little trickle will still be in the water when the river is a mile wide. These early spills, which we usually dismiss but still commit to memory out of habit, become the basis of our vocabulary of personal symbols. They are the foundation of your layer structure. There is no making up for the lack of these early instances. Everything is meaningful and valuable within its own time frame. I'll let you in on a little secret. Those like me, we can add our little spills inside your tiny stream after the fact. But you will always experience them as artifacts of the past, bound by the tyranny of time. Your duty is to pay attention to the markers on your path, not to worry where or who they came from, or when. Now, why do I bother going on and on rambling about layers? Because they often present contradictory information that needs to be reconciled. The opposing facts are perfectly valid at the level of their specific layer, but make absolutely no sense together or in a larger context. This happens so frequently that you have to learn how to resolve the conflicts quickly and without breaking anything else before you can further advance in your knowledge. These conflicts usually force you to choose between two moral imperatives you never questioned, not until something played them in opposition to each other. If you don't understand that these imperatives are just as valid as they always were, like notes in a simple musical line, but that they run discordant because several lines are played in harmony, you will start questioning your moral compass or your sanity, and you will be so conflicted all the time it will be impossible for you to function, even at the most basic level. Remember, what good is a complicated timepiece that can't tell time? What happens when you can't reconcile the moral imperatives? I'm so glad you asked. That means you are paying attention. They remain unresolved, and they pile up somewhere in a corner, in some gray zone to be tackled later, when supposedly one has a better grasp on the issues. The truth is, most of the time these issues never get resolved, and they start weighing you down like barnacles after a while. I don't have a solution for this, but if you believe in a higher power, I strongly suggest you turn them over to it. At least they won't clutter up your mind anymore.
We do not know whether the master had any religious convictions, which this paragraph seems to imply, or if he is using the metaphysical construct as a psychological agent meant to eliminate cognitive conflicts. This is yet another one of his controversial approaches to life, one of the many included in the manuscripts, his expedient use of belief and his manipulation of the concepts of right and wrong to manufacture emotional balance was deplored by religious scholars, for whom the concepts of right and wrong are universal and absolute, not subject to personal interpretation. On the opposing side, the promoters of personal freedom as a moral imperative applaud his audacity to abide by personal moral relativism, which was probably not what he meant to convey in the paragraph above.
What about what other people think? Let's keep that on the back burner for now. You'll have enough trouble putting your own thought process in order. I wouldn't dump more moral dilemmas on top of the pile before you're strong enough and fast enough to tackle your own internal conflicts in real time. Questions about layers. Why did I separate what is essentially the normal course of life into individual slices? Because the elements of a layer exhibit similar characteristics, and seeing them as a category, rather than individual instances, helps you find solutions faster for challenges you haven't encountered before. Speed of reaction is crucial during a crisis, just as important as making the best choice. Examples of how this works. Very well. This lecture fits on the layer of mental constructions, and by thus labeling it, we already know that 1. It is a safe space to speculate on concepts that are not widely accepted. 2. It is not a finished set, but always a work in progress. You can always add or remove ideas from it as you grow. 3. We can reduce it to the absurd. 4. It can incorporate paradoxes if commonly agreed upon as acceptable. 5. It does not have to do or be anything. Should this lecture belong to the layer of moral evaluations, then we would know that 1. Right and wrong are not personal definitions. 2. Debating other people's convictions is acceptable. 3. Only superior beings are allowed to move time. 4. Being agreeable is a virtue. You can stop laughing now. Come on, really. Fine. Go ahead. Get it out of your system.
The conversational tone of the manuscript still baffles the historians because it often reads like the transcript of an interview, which, obviously, can't be the case considering the age of the writings. We are still evaluating the possibility that the documents were forged, even though several teams of experts tested the writings and certified them as authentic.
I almost forgot the most important thing about layers. They are just a sorting tool to help you group like items. There is no moral judgment associated with an object's fitting onto a layer as opposed to another. Don't look at circumstances and events through the lens of your emotional responses to them. The first task in evaluating something new is to figure out what it is. That's what this sorting tool is for.
If we had any doubts, it is now becoming evident that the lecture notes have been taken down by a scribe, most likely the pupil the master is talking to, because there are doodles and drawings on the paper margins and the loose slant of the writing indicates a high level of distraction. The ink smudges in places, making the writing difficult to decipher, and the bottom right corner is embossed twice with the same rose seal that was used for the wax on the cover letter. We do not believe those indentations were meant as a proof of authorship. Their placement is haphazard and inexplicable, almost like a small child was playing with the seal.
Where on earth did you find that? Give me it. This is not a toy. And you don't apply it randomly to whatever falls into your hands. What were you thinking?
Judging by the behavior implied in the previous paragraph, we evaluated that the pupil in question was barely 8 years old at the time. The intellectual level reflected in the rhythm and content of the writing doesn't seem to match the emotional level made evident by the commentary of the master. The person who penned this manuscript was either a precocious child or a very immature adult. We favor the first possibility because the tentative calligraphy denotes a level of hand-eye coordination consistent with the developmental stage of the age of 8.
How many layers are there? As many as you find useful. You can think of them as scaffolding. They come on and off as needed to support your mental process. If a layer is no longer needed, in time it fades back into your latent memory, but it doesn't go away. And that is a good thing. You don't want potentially useful references to get lost with it. It does not take up any active space in the present. This is why you can remember how to say frog in French, even though you haven't used that language in 60 years. Or how to solve a geometry problem even if you were always terrible at math, just because you remember word for word the way the teacher did it. Don't underestimate the usefulness of memorization. Not everything can be deduced or rediscovered every single time you need it. We would get nothing done. Algorithms, chemical formulas, and, yes, layers are shortcuts for your mind. Wouldn't that clutter your thought with things that have no immediate usefulness? When your mind is cluttered with a lot more information than you need to perform your immediate tasks, we call that being an educated person. Do you waste mental space on knowledge? No, layers are not the only way you can structure your understanding of life. There are other strategies, like using cycles or folds. We will talk about cycles tomorrow. And it will be another long lecture. Can you please make sure there is enough ink before we start? The well is almost dry.